This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Most of us at one time or another have made that stop at a fast food restaurant. It's easy, convenient, relatively inexpensive, but beyond the potential dietary repercussions, there's another potentially significant health hazard, and that is toxic chemicals in the food packaging. I'm talking about PFAS. I'm David Fair, and our guest today is here to explain the issues and what is being done about it. Jeff Gearhart is Research Director for HealthyStuff.org from the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center, and it's nice to talk with you again, Jeff.
Nice to talk with you, David.
In looking at this, Jeff, the Ecology Center, the Mind the Store campaign, Toxic Free Future, and other collaborating partners have worked to put together a study called Packaging in Pollution. Are food chains using PFAS in packaging? Now, with a study like that and a title like that, I think we can make some assumptions. At what point did you determine this was an avenue worth exploring?
Well, we've been looking at PFAS in a wide range of consumer products for many years. Unfortunately, they're ubiquitous in everything from our shoes to apparel, industrial applications, carpeting, and many other consumer products. So in March of this year, 33 international scientists issued a consensus statement regarding chemicals in food packaging and other food contact materials, so anything that touches food. And the peer-reviewed consensus statement highlighted the fact that FDA has over 12,000 distinct chemicals that are registered and can be used in food packaging. And it highlighted three chemicals in particular, PFAS, which we'll talk about today, bisphenol A's and phthalates, as being used in many types of food packaging, and that Food and Drug Administration doesn't have adequate data on hazard or level of exposure. So that study, or that consensus statement in March, was part of the impetus for us to say we need to actually work on moving the fast food industry to eliminate the PFAS in their food packaging as part of a broader effort to address chemicals in food packaging in general.
So in your study, Packaged in Pollution, how many restaurant chains did you include?
Well, the study found that nearly half of the packaging samples tested had PFAS in them, including popular favorites like the McDonald's Big Mac, Burger King's Whopper, Sweet Garden salads and bowls, and a number of other our large restaurants. One of the things people don't realize is the sheer scale of this. And the reason we've actually targeted McDonald's for chains here is McDonald's sells 1 million Big Macs a day. And the sheer volume of the packaging that goes through McDonald's and their ability to impact the marketplace by shifting out of these PFAS packaging in their Big Macs and other products is huge. So we've attempting to engage with McDonald's. We have an online petition that folks can sign at saferchemicals.org. And we're hoping that we can get a commitment from McDonald's in the near term to phase out the use of these materials in their packaging.
We're talking with the Ecology Center's Jeff Gearhart on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Jeff, there is another Jeff who is trying to get some legislative action taken on PFAS in food packaging, and that is State Senator Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor. He's introducing bills in Lansing that, if approved, would require phase-out of PFAS in the food packaging. Did you work with Senator Irwin on these measures at all or had any conversations about what should be included?
Yes, Senator Jeff Irwin has legislation in Michigan that would make Michigan a leader in addressing this issue. We worked with Senator Irwin to develop that package. That is part of really a global set of action that's occurring on this in California, state of Washington, and a number of other cities around the country where, in the absence of federal leadership on this issue, states and localities are moving to ban the use of PFAS in these materials. And importantly, I think the other part of this is how do we begin to address the broader issue of these single-use plastics that often have PFAS? So we're seeing around the country programs pop up to promote more durable use of packaging that can actually be returned, reusable packaging that can actually change the whole dynamic, not only around PFAS, but also around how packaging is used and disposed of.
And let's talk about that on the environmental front. Once we've eaten most of that food, the garbage gets thrown away and ultimately winds up in our landfills. Given the level of PFAS and in those food packaging materials and the sheer amount that we are producing on a daily basis, is it enough it could possibly end up in the leachate and contaminate groundwater?
We know that the cycle of these products have what we call life cycle concerns. So both the production of the stain and water treatment PFAS chemicals, as well as what happens when these products are disposed of, we're getting a good handle on. We know this in Ann Arbor. We know that we have PFAS showing up in the compost that we have from our compost facility. We know that we have PFAS showing up at our wastewater treatment plant. We know we have PFAS showing up in our surface waters and drinking waters. So there's no way for these products. They're going to end up in landfills. They're going to end up in our compost. And we know that landfills and all of these sources, all of these endpoints for these products are sources of PFAS to the environment. So this really highlights they're both the concern of personal exposure from eating products that are packaged, but also for the whole environment. We really need to reduce and eliminate all of these uses that are unnecessary.
Yeah, they're referred to as forever chemicals for a reason, right?
That is true. They are referred to forever chemicals. And you know, one of the things that, another type of product we're working on is stain treatments for carpeting and upholstery. And these are products you can buy at your local Lowe's or Home Depot. And these products are people are purchasing and spraying in their home environments. So I can enumerate many products that fit that category where it's really an unnecessary use of these PFAS chemicals that are continuing. And what we're trying to do is educate the public and then move policymakers to actually regulate these uses to protect public health.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment conversation continues with Jeff Gearhart from the Ecology Center. And to get back to this particular and specific study, you mentioned that you're hoping McDonald's will come around and find ways to eliminate PFAS from its food packaging. Have you had any direct conversations with McDonald's or any of the other restaurants chains included in the study about their food packaging and what they might be willing to do?
Yeah, I think this is an example of good news and the ability of public education and concern to move things. Over the last year and a half, we've gotten commitments from a range of fast food and grocery retailers to eliminate PFAS, and these include Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Albertsons, on the fast food front, Taco Bell, Chipotle, Sweetgarden, Cava, and Freshy have all moved and adopted policies to eliminate PFAS in their fast food packaging items. So this shows that change is possible. It shows that when people express concerns publicly and participate civically in these issues, we can actually change the marketplace, even in a space where public policy maybe is a little harder to do because we have some failed national leadership on this. So we're really encouraged by that. We think that with people becoming involved in this issue, we can move the rest of the industry and we can eliminate this source of PFAS to the environment.
Well, you just touched on a level of optimism. With your study in hand, with Jeff Irwin's bills in Lansing, and with some scientific and public support, you are optimistic PFAS can be eliminated in food packaging in perhaps the not-so-distant future?
I would say so. I think this is one where we can do that. And I think I would add, David, I think many of these other uses, I think we can actually make progress on as well and encourage folks to get out and vote so that we can have federal leadership that's more protective of public health.
So even if any of these restaurant chains or the other consumer agencies that produce products with PFAS in them, even if they announced later today they're going to work towards eliminating PFAS from all packaging and products as quickly as possible, how long would the turnaround time be?
The chains we've talked to have said it can happen pretty quickly. Obviously, there's inventories of packaging that they have in stock that need to be managed, but we think this can happen once decisions are made within a period of months. So that's really encouraging.
Jeff, thank you so much for the time and the information today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
That is Jeff Gearhart. Jeff is Research Director for HealthyStuff.org at the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center, and our guest on Issues of the Environment. For more information on today's topic and to access the Issues of the Environment archive, visit our webpage at WEMU.org. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and is heard every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.